All right, we are here. And we wanted to mention one thing before we go into the questions, and that is that a question was made about low blood pressure. So much is spoken about high blood pressure. What about low blood pressure? Low blood pressure comes from, again, it's blood, family. But when the blood pressure is low, it means shut down. It is the freeze response to the family. The family is either overbearing or difficult or too chaotic. And the only way for self-preservation is to freeze, is to shut down, close down. Now, it also has to do with a certain amount of closing down in the lobe of the pituitary, but the major factor is tired adrenals. Okay, what are tired adrenals? A lot of people have tired adrenals. Probably of those who are really trying to get a lot accomplished, you're going to find that over half the population have tired adrenals. Right? Now, they normally say that adrenals are like most organs have three stages. There's the balance stage. But three stages of breakdown. And the first one is the it's kind of like the alarm mode. It's like it's on alert. It's under stress, and it's having to work a bit harder and compensate for a lot of stress. And the second stage, it goes into, in a sense, it goes crazy. In the second stage, it really, really goes gangbusters, and it will register as being really high. Adrenals can do this, thyroid can do it, people can have hyperthyroid, overactive thyroid. It doesn't mean that the thyroid's in extra good condition. It means that it is faced with some threat and it is working harder and harder and harder and it's not catching up. And it'll move to a third breakdown phase called exhaustion. In exhaustion, it just won't function as well. You have very slow functioning, a lot of fatigue. Low blood pressure has to do with a threat upon a person's survival if they don't suppress who they are. So, of course, it gets home to roost. It generally is set forth in a family with either a dominating or intimidating parents. Or the person goes out into life and finds situations where they're continuously intimidated or dominated. And they may be angry about it, but there's a certain helplessness, a certain powerlessness. Doesn't seem to be anything they can do. And the best thing to do is just to zip it, to shut up, to go to sleep, to shut down. And this can shut down the whole endocrine system, not just the adrenals. And that will put the blood pressure way down. And the way to bring blood pressure back up to normal is to gradually rebuild the whole endocrine system. Tomorrow when we talk about systems, we'll talk about all the intricate themes of the systems and we'll work with the brain. But for now, we're going to go to questions, any kind of clarifications or elucidations that we can offer, we'd be very happy to. So Daniel will offer the mic to anyone who is ready to ask a question.
Hi, Alexis. This is Sharon.
Hello.
Hi there. This has been wonderful workshop with lots of information and all sorts of insights coming and a lot of energy and conflict about aging and what it means. And The last time we talked about my liver, and you suggested some coffee enemas, which I've done. But I've lost a lot of weight in a short period of time, like 9% of my body weight. And so the medical doctors were very concerned, and they gave me lots of tests, lots of a blood test, a sonogram, and a CAT scan, and doesn't appear anything there shows up. But between the enemas that I've been doing and the CAT scan stuff I had to take, I've been really exhausted this week, and I just feel like, I want to understand what's happening physically and how to deal with it physically, and also I'm getting clues about what it's related to emotionally and releasing, and my image of aging coming from my mother, who was ageless and vital, and I feel like I've been a rebel around not aging and not falling into the consensus on that, and but conflicted about accepting it also.
Mm-hmm.
And how to accept it so I don't fall into the consensus. So maybe that's the place to start.
All right, that's a good one, yes. Because it points out a very interesting thing. We did talk about cholesterol a bit and fat, but we didn't talk about low body fat.
Yeah?
All right. And also to just reiterate what you had just said, how your mother had a certain, ageless and vital quality about her, right?
Right.
And in rebellion against her, then, of course, it looks like you're going to head for more consensus aging than
hers. No. I have also been a rebel against aging.
Rebel against aging, yeah.
Rebel against aging, yeah.
Right. But are you accepting the wonderful aspects and attributes that your mother has actually given you?
In terms of the agelessness?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. Although I feel like I don't have as much energy as she had. I'm getting more tired. I require more sleep, and that makes me very angry. She didn't need any sleep. Why do I need 8 hours of sleep now to feel good? So my vitality is like I feel like my body is kind of, not as physically adept as good as it used to be, and that's very irritating to me.
All right. Well, when you're talking about energy, lowered energy, which is really interesting, that's also one of those quote-unquote indicators of aging, that you're just not as energetic and you're not as spry as you were, and so on. We would suggest that probably as far as the enemas are concerned, you might want to kind of phase out on those now.
Yeah. It's worn me out.
Yeah, it looks like it.
I am totally depleted. But did it do some good?
It did what it needed to do.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is really good.
Okay.
And it did it kicked a certain aspect of your metabolism back in.
Okay.
But now you're having to rebalance. And when you go out of balance, you tend to get, anyone going out of balance will tend to lose energy. Because the body, whenever, let's say you just walked and virtually all your weight is on one foot. You know, those of you who've had injuries or whatever, you know how tiring that is. Is that you have to all your weight is on one foot, you have to work your body around it, it's like, and you have to compensate for it, and it can be very exhausting. So anytime you're out of balance for any extended length of time, it is exhausting. And even in the healing process, you'll be out of balance sometimes. Even in the healing process, you'll feel tired. If you get a really good healing, from an energy healer or something, you may just, go back home and just crash, for a few hours. And that's almost entirely natural. But the body finds the more rest that you have, that the more it is able to recuperate, particularly as far as the endocrine or the hormonal system is concerned. Now, what's going on for you as far as low body fat is concerned has to do, once again, it is liver. It is still liver. And what has happened is that the liver has kicked in to being able to process more and faster. And the liver is the one that processes all the fat and produces the cholesterol. But if the liver has to do too much work, if it still is too overloaded and is trying to heal while it's trying to take care of the toxicities that are there and so on and so on, it can get overloaded. And so as a result, it will do what is required for survival and won't do the extra stuff. The extra stuff may in this situation be viewed as, okay, we'll cut some of our fat-making operations. We'll cut down our cholesterol-producing operation. And so that's suggesting that all the rest that you need is actually appropriate right now for your liver. But any more detoxing that you can do gently, perhaps, with your liver, a little bit more gentle, with a little bit of nutrition, just to kind of over time to help with that liver, so that you get enough energy that maybe you can do a liver flush or a gallbladder flush. You can, you know, Google that and you can find marvelous techniques and strategies on how to do that from all the old naturopaths, you know. And that will flush out stones and all sorts of fatty deposits that are blocking the liver from doing its function and so on. Now, a liver has to do with rage, and it's normally associated with various acid emotions, again, anger and resentment and rage. And one of the things that's happening, though, is that your whole hormonal system is low. You're aware of that, yes?
Yes.
All right. The whole hormonal system functions on fat. So if your body fat gets really low, then you cannot manufacture your hormones.
Yeah, I've had lots of diarrhea. And the one time that I didn't have it in the last 5 years was when I didn't eat any oils for 3 days. And then I had very solid bowel movements.
Well, see, you're not retaining your oils.
Yeah.
They're just flushing right on through. The liver says, hands up, I can't deal with it. I got too much to do. So I'm just going to pass them on through. And, you know, when the channel was a little girl and got constipated, she was given, what, castor oil, you know, and other oils, you know. But it would be oils that are kind of indigestible by the liver. So if you want the liver to pick up fats and you want the liver to get back on online, we would suggest proactively on the emotional body thing is to look out. See, you're doing a dump. You're doing a releasing of all the time in your life that you kept yourself from doing what you wanted to do. And you had a lot of resentment and rage about it. But you felt you were powerless to do anything otherwise. You know what we're talking about?
Yes.
It's like, okay, I have to do this. It's a necessity. I've got to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to do this other thing. But I have to put my desires aside. I have to put my passion on the shelf. And I have to do my duty. I have to do my obligations. I have to do what I have to do. Right? Maybe even if you make that choice out of love or out of care for someone else or from what seems to be a really good motivation, underneath it all is still a repression of yourself. It's still putting your passion equals hormones, all right? Putting it on the shelf, denying yourself that. And the one that maintains that denial is what is known as the internal parent. You get a part of yourself, or the slave driver, a part of yourself that makes sure to enforce, you know, the new rule that you got to live by now, you know. And so it kind of keeps it constant, keeps the agitation constant. You got to keep sacrificing the passion and keep doing your duty. Keep doing your duty. Keep doing your duty. And underneath there, the part of you that is rebellious, you know, who rebels against a parent figure? A child, right? Okay, so it's your rebellious child. The rebellious child gets really, really angry. Angry. But it feels totally powerless. And there's some self-pity that kind of floats around in there too. Right. So what you've been doing, and the reason we're saying this is a dump of that, is because you're starting to get more into doing what you want to do. Yes?
Yes.
And so it's kind of ironic that now you're getting the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to point out that sometimes this happens. You start doing what you really want to do. It changes the balance of what you had been having set up. And when you shift the balance, you get tired. When you shift the balance, you have to go through this kind of transition period to get to the new balance. In the meantime, you are clearing out and cleaning out energetically all that old helpless rage and frustration that you didn't get a chance to do what you wanted to do, and you had to postpone yourself for who knows how long, and damn it, why does the world have to be like this, and why can't I be this happy-go-lucky person, and why can't I do blah, 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 and that kind of thing. So in a sense, you're releasing some of that. You can do it proactively and accelerate that cleansing by just getting with your inner child and getting with the part or an earlier self. It doesn't have to be a child. It doesn't have to be an adolescent. It can be an earlier you, the one who made the choice to sacrifice yourself, the one who martyred herself. You understand?
Yes.
Get with her because she's the one that's really pissed. Because she had to make a choice she didn't want to make, but she felt obligated. She felt that she had to make it, that it was imperative.
Survival.
Survival, right. Yeah, that was bottom line. And survival issues, if they are faced off with any other issue, it's the bottom need is survival of all the hierarchy of needs. Well, it's actually not a hierarchy, but all the needs that you have are the real fundamental needs. Maslow determined, you know, them, and they've been famous and all that. But the most basic one is survival. Root chakra, too. Root chakra issue. That's the colon and the intestines and the elimination system, yes? Okay, so for survival, you had to do this. But by golly, you want to get it out. You just want to get, you just have to get something. You just, you want to, you've been wanting to release it for so long. So you've been loose in the stool there. Getting it out. Just getting it out. All this water, all this emotion. That's where you've been channeling your emotion. All right? So in order to be able to absorb your fouls, you want to get the, you want to deliberately shift your channel of emotional expression and release deliberately to your perhaps solar plexus. Work with your younger self who made that choice. Give her everything she wants. And, or help her also, you know, go around and beat up a whole bunch of people and blow up a whole bunch of buildings and do something just to get the rage out of her system. Just, you know, get it out. Because she had lots of energy. Mm-hmm. And she had to stuff it. She had to corral it. She had to focus it. You know, you find a lot of this similar pattern in people with attention deficit disorder. And the way they deal with it is they simply refuse to establish the internal parent. So their child runs amok. And the child, children are naturally kind of, you know, they're not really disciplined with their attention by nature. You know, they can be really wild if they're in some kind of strange chemical buzz from eating, you know, processed food or something like that. But overall, if you find a person with ADD, you'll find that very often, if there's something they're really interested in, they focus just fine. If they really are interested in it. And the things that don't interest them, they can't care less. They become totally irresponsible. They will not set this internal parent self on themselves. They just cannot put that together. They cannot create this split in their personality. And so all the pieces of their personality come spewing out at once. It's very distracting. See, you are disciplined enough that you establish this internal parent, this internal authority figure, or the slave driver, to make sure that you fulfilled your choice. But an ADD person can't do that. The only way to function, work with an ADD person, is to get them, their emotions are just, their emotions just come right through. The fear is there, the anger is there, and the anger puts them into a manic mode, the fear puts them into a anxiety runaround mode, and it just is just as difficult sometimes for them, even an ADD child, as it is for the harried parents who are trying to cope with them. So maybe you might want to even give that free rein to your child self. Let her run around and do all sorts of things. Let her go and do creative thing projects and make big messes and run around here and do run around there and run around there and work off some of that energy, that excess energy that's in your system. You inherited it. But you see, one of the things about family is that parents and children are opposite ends of the polarity. Children polarize from their parents in one way or another. And then when the children grow up and they have children, their children polarize from them. And that's why a lot of times you have beautiful connections with your grandparents. Because both you and your grandparents understand what a bear your mother or your father can be. And are over there learning to compensate for them. And the same side of the polarity, you see. So let that child self, let all that energy out. You have all the energy, and you will have all the energy you can use when you get through this phase and you get the place to where your energies are not running amok and draining you. Mm-hmm. Now, we did a meditation last night, not part of this workshop, in which you fill the reservoir. And before you filled a reservoir of energy for yourself, you had to plug a leak in your energy field. Did you find one?
The first chakra... You didn't mention it, but that's where everything is flowing out too much. But then you said the third, so I figured, well, that's probably at the third that I'm...
Right, but at the third, that's where you, by your will, you forced yourself into this obligation. But it was almost like a sneaky thing. Okay, I cannot release my emotion directly. I cannot express myself directly. So I'll release it this way. You know? Yeah, so... It's not that you have a leak there, but that's your release valve. But you, yes, you're right. You had a leak in your solar plexus. Because if you have a conflict within yourself, it's going to be in one of those three chakras, solar plexus, heart, or throat. And that's where the conflicts generally show up, and the leaks, where the holes are.
What about, it's the oils that I'm trying to, like, I know I need oil, but... I'm not digesting it.
Right, but what we're saying is that if you can move over your elimination into emotional expression, then you shift the channel of release. And that will tell your body that you don't have to do it through the rectum now. Also, you need to do a little bit more nurturing with your liver and more support for your liver so that it can start to work with the fats again. And don't be too disturbed about doing all that sleep. If you're angry about having to do all that sleep, you're judging something. You're judging the sleep. You're judging your performance, your capacity to be productive.
Yep.
You know, what is it that you're angry about? It's not really about all the sleep. It's about you feel deprived of something.
Exactly. Deprived of some things I want to be doing.
Right. Well, you see, that's part of the program, isn't it? That you put your things you want to do on the shelf. This is another way of doing it. Your body's very creative, you know? So if you start doing it, it goes against the program. You have to close that program. And you close the program by working with the one who made the choice. and giving her everything she needs and giving her permission to be there. And you, the current self, take over. And she doesn't come into your life any longer. You give her her life and you give her everything she needs. And when she's in balance and she's all happy, she won't bug you anymore. You see what we're saying?
Yes.
It kind of dismantles the need for the, and you can re-choose under a tremendous amount of choice. Ta-da! I choose, I choose, I choose. You know, just vociferously with lots of energy, lots of will. I choose to do what I desire to do and to prioritize and to make that important. Because what you're doing right now is that you're doing your duties, obligations, 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 and then you're tired. You get around to doing what you want to do if you put it at the end of your list, which means, and this may be very radical for you, put what you want to do at the top of the list. Do it first. That'll start shifting the balance. But you don't want to do, you think, I should do what, do your homework first and then play, or do your, work first, then play. A lot of people don't ever get around to the play. They're too exhausted with all their compromises at work. So for you to practice putting the play in first, putting the things in you want to do first. And you may have to rearrange your day a bit. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. But you have to break the pattern now. And you're in the process of releasing the pattern, but you got to still break it so it won't go into another level, or another creative level of, okay, here's how can we move this choice into another venue or into another way of showing itself, you see. You want to get it out. All right. And then your liver will start to get the, take, it will feel the pressure off of it. It will feel the load off of it. And it'll be able to start doing more of its work. And if you do more passion, it activates the making of fat so that you can support the passion. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good question. All right. Who else?
Hi, it's Mark.
Hello, Mark.
You've talked to me before about my irregular heartbeat, which seems to be increasing, and I don't think we've really gotten into the emotional component of that very much, and I was curious to know that side of this irregular heartbeat of mine.
All right. The emotional side of that, of irregular heartbeat, okay? In your upbringing, in your training, and you've been quite rebellious against it, we might add. That it was assumed that you would have to, dedicate yourself, focus yourself, and be a big success, right?
Right.
That was the pressure. Right. That was the expectation.
Yep.
All right. Well, this is the approach, a potential approach of a aging bomb for you to pay attention to. When we're looking at it through this direction, we're seeing that the time is running out for you to complete this mission given you by your father and handed down from generation to generation. For you to be the big success. You see, you don't perceive yourself to be the big success. You realize that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're afraid, on a subconscious level. Am I going to make it? Am I ever going to succeed finally? Am I ever going to be out of the pressure, out of the demand? This is all happening subconscious. The drumbeat is increasing. The pace is pushing. Hey, you're nearing the deadline. You're nearing the deadline. You understand what we're saying?
Yes.
It's like by a certain... What was the age where you have to really prove that you're a success or a failure? What age is that? Can you sense what deadline you gave yourself?
I would guess it would be before now.
Yeah. It's like you filed for an extension.
Funny, I do that in everything.
Well, that's just because you're rebellious and resisting on sense. But there's still a part of you that says, please give me more time, give me more time, because I've got to get, I haven't gotten there yet. So these are waves of fear and anxiety. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. So take the pressure off, right? See, you didn't channel it necessarily through your blood pressure per se, but we would suggest you still have spikes in your blood pressure from time to time. When you have high blood pressure, you can't really tell. It takes a lot of sensitivity to be aware of when you have high blood pressure or low blood pressure. For most people, it's hard to tell. You have to have a test to check it. But sometimes you have pulses of it where the fear goes through in a shuddering wave. And it's electrical. And it stimulates your adrenaline, which goes and zaps your heart a few times. All right? Now, another thing associated with it is your thyroid. Because when you're a rebel, we talked about the thyroid voice, when am I going to do what I want to do? There's a part of you say, when is all the demand going to be off? When can I just feel free to do what I want to do? When I feel free to just enjoy myself, to live life and do good things and have fun and whatever. When is that going to happen? Right? When is some of this kind of strange, consistent pressure going to be off me? Kind of interesting. There's some kind of alarm going on. How appropriate. Yeah? Yeah. Now see, you've reached the deadline. The alarm is on, Beep, beep, it's time. No pressure. It's time. So you have to take the heat off yourself. And there's rage about it too. Really, really anger that you were under so much expectation that you couldn't be loved and accepted just for who you are. Damn it.
Yeah.
Right? This is the issue for you to look at here.
Good.
Right?
Yes.
Love yourself the way you are right now and say screw you to the internal parent. You're fired. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're fired. The gold watch, the retirement party, give them the whole works and retire that slave driver that's trying to enforce your father's timing, your father's imperative. Your father's gone now, isn't he?
Yep.
He's missed it. You could be wildly successful now and it still wouldn't make any difference now, would it?
Not at all.
So it's time for your freedom. Mm-hmm. All right, and so we would suggest that you do that. You get release the slave driver, and you also go and look at fear, and look at the anxiety that you're going to mess up, and you're going to fail, and all the threats of shame that are there. It's not that you're carrying around all this shame, but you're carrying around the threat of being shamed. You see?
Mm-hmm.
The threat of being exposed as an absolute failure. And while if you look at it consciously and deliberately, you've done enough thinking and process and so forth about it, that really has no bearing or meaning or relevance. But on a subconscious level, it's still hooked in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is time to take your authority. You're the authority now. Dad's gone. Consensus, you can work with it. You're the authority now. So say, okay, I'm the authority, and according to me, I'm as successful as I want to be at this moment. I'm not going to push myself anymore. I'm going to live my life according to me now. I'm going to love and value me, and I'm going to be okay. Whether I lie around and look out the window and go, bleh, or whether I'm industrious and getting a lot done, or asleep, or just hanging out with some friends and eating. No pressure anywhere. You see, just take it off and keep reminding yourself, I'm okay. I'm a powerful reality creator. And I'm the authority to decide whether I'm a success or not. It's my criteria, not dad's or not society's or not anybody else's, and not my young adult who has this fantasy of being Mr., you know, smart and important. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I'm going to have the best car, right? Everybody's going to envy me. I'm going to be the multimillionaire before I'm, 30, right? Or whatever. The fantasies of that young adult. Give him all his fantasies. Get him off your back, too. So that you can really be you, who you are now, which is exquisitely beautiful. The work that you've done, the learning and the growing and the expanding. If you could just celebrate who you are right now, your life would be absolute phenomenal. Does that register for you?
Some.
Oops.
Yeah, it does. It certainly does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I flicker in and out of that. I mean, obviously.
The flickering in and out of that is the irregularity.
Yeah, okay.
Right. When you're out of it, you're fine. When you're flickering back and forth across into the fear and through the anxiety and loop and back out, and there the heart goes whoop-de-doop-de-doop.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And that also is one of those ideas about the time bomb of aging, you see, is that it could... There are deadlines. Some of you have given yourself deadlines. That alarm is really still going on, isn't it?
Not me.
Yeah, we know it's
not me.
We know the deadline.
That's right. Time is up. How do you feel? How do you feel at the end of a day? You know, sleep is called the little death or the sister of death. Because every day is a cycle. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And then you go to sleep. It's reflected in your life. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then you die. Some of you, at the end of the day, feel sad. I missed it. I didn't have the full day I should have. I didn't do what I love to do. I didn't live a beautiful life today. I didn't achieve and accomplish what I should have. Any of you ever feel that way? At the end of a day? When the sun sets? A kind of a sadness? Another day lost? And then you have to console yourself. Well, then there's tomorrow. It's like people who say, well, you know, next week I'm going to do that creative project. Next week comes, oh, I can't do it this week because this has intervened and I've got to get that done. I've got to finish that. Blah, 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 blah. Next week I'll start the creative project. And the same thing goes on week after week after week after week. Continues to be postponed. But there's, in the meantime, every day, there's a sadness. Oh, I didn't get to it today. I didn't love myself the way I wanted to today. I didn't value who I was today. Don't let yourself feel sad at the end of the day. Some of you'd feel it at the end of the year, you know. New Year's Eve. Oh, the old year's over, the new year's beginning. Thank God the new year's beginning, because I certainly flopped the old year. I didn't get where I wanted to get. I should have been further along. How many of you think you should be further along than you are? By now, with all the study I've done and all the changing and all the healing and the growing and so on, by now I should fill in the blank. Listen, forgive yourself. is setting up a time bomb for yourself, an aging bomb. You're setting yourself up for failure, for sadness, regret, remorse, guilt, shame on you kind of stuff. You're setting yourself up into judgment for yourself. You're setting yourself up to feel not okay, not spiritual enough, not good enough, not loving enough, not smart enough, not something. So if you think that somehow or another you've been offered all these opportunities and you've just messed with them and tossed them away and not been able to utilize things and really missed your opportunities and really threw away your success and blah, 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 and you did it all wrong and whatever, forgive yourself. Otherwise, just let it go. Remind yourself, I'm a powerful reality creator. I'm the authority in my life now. I can choose. I can create a sense of priority in my own life. And I can value something because I want to value that more than something else. And I don't have to judge that because my parents judged it or the consensus judges it or other people could possibly judge it. If I want to do that, I'm going to do it because I feel like I want to do it and I'm worth it. There are people who die of cancer because they don't think their life is worth saving. Aging very often comes because your emotions are unfinished, because you don't feel that you're worth it. So you never get around to living the glorious life. Now, we're not saying that necessarily about you. Because you know that you want something more. You've given yourself a very, very high level dream. But you got to keep the dreams current. You got to keep the dreams up. Don't let yourself drop your dreams. You may also need to re-dream from time to time to keep your dreams current to who you are. Some of you are still trying to live dreams from 30 years ago. And that's toxic to your system, to your emotional body. That's aging. That's the same thing, like the guy who wants to go and listen to all the old rock music from 1971, his favorite time, his favorite hits. And he goes back there and he goes into nostalgia. Oh, weren't those the good old days? We bet that 1971 sucked. In retrospect, it's been made into this beautiful ideal. He probably had a romance and he lost the romance and he probably made a lot of money and lost a lot of money and he probably had a car accident or something, you know. But he's going to remember it with nostalgia because he doesn't have a future. Keep your future alive. Keep your future alive. Or you'll never live long. You see, you're living now because you have a future you're heading for. But you're going to have to reevaluate it every now and then. Because right now, if we asked you, how long do you think you're going to live? You can come up with some preposterous stuff. And you can come up with some, who knows how much, what, you know. But in longevity, you don't jump to 200 years of age and say, I'm going to live to be 200. Don't go there. How old did your oldest grandparent or parent die? The oldest one. Oldest one may be like 92. Okay. So start with age 92. I'm going to live 92 plus 10 years. Start there. Dream there. But you want to have ideas about how fun it's going to be all through there. Not 92 in a nursing home, okay? 92 doing beautiful, wonderful, fun things. Fun things that you would do at 55 or 65. So keep your dreams. They're so important. And they've got to be your dreams. Not anybody else's. Yours. All right. We're going to have to take a short break. Unfortunately, we can't get more questions because we have a meditation to go to close the day. All right. So we're going to take a 5-minute break. If you need to go to the bathroom, go. If you don't, just kind of stay where you are and think and feel within yourself what you want to, where do you want to go? What dreams do you have? Why are you living? Could your death be a beautiful experience, not one beset with pain and suffering and illness and disaster? Could you die when you choose to die? After a wonderful, long-lived life, and you finally said, okay, I think I've done what I wanted to do in this body. And to gently sit down and meditate and close your eyes and go. Wouldn't that be fun? This is a good day to die. If you're not afraid of death and all that transpires in the making and the creating of death and the aging to death, if you break that, and death is beautiful. Death is a reunion. Death is a healing, a lifting, a transcendence. I'm not encouraging you to go out and die. Of course not. But you're going to die beautifully only if you live beautifully. So if you don't live your dreams, you're going to die horribly. You're going to follow the consensus. What does consensus say about dying? Do you like it? No, you don't. You're not going to die with elegance and grace. You're going to die in pain. How about dying in joy? Living in joy, you can die in joy, yes? If you release your pain, your emotional pain, what pain do you need to feel then, when you're ready? All right, so just start imagining in this. We know it's only a 5-minute break, and we know we've already taken 5 minutes of it, so... So think, just kind of think about that, and we'll come back. No, we want to take a break because we sense that some people are antsy and need to go to the bathroom, okay? All right, so we're going to close right now for just a few moments. Farewell.